Good morning once again. This past Wednesday began a tradition that began in the 3rd and 4th centuries of the church. It's a practice derived from the biblical narrative of the people of Israel being tested in the wilderness for 40 years, as well as a 40-day fast in the wilderness by Jesus. A time seen as preparation and repentance, in anticipation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Day. In Latin, the word Lent means dawning of the sun. Originally, its meaning was springtime, which is fitting for a season of intentional self-examination and preparation. As we consider the process of the dawning of the sun, or better known to you and I, a sunrise, it's both illuminating and uplifting. The sun pushes back the shadows that have covered the ground and reveals all that has withered. The sun applies its healing property, offering nourishment to the ground and vegetation, once again giving way to life. How similar to the spiritual walk of a believer. This season of Lent offers us a time to take a closer look at what lies within, our internal shadows, so to speak. And at the same time, we're offered nourishment and renewal that is found only in Christ Jesus. As we turn back to the account of God's creating the heavens and the earth and to everything in them through the use of words, God said, "Let there be light." And it was so. Let there be water. Let there be vegetation. Let there be animals and humans. And it was done because God's words meant power. But it so happened, Satan was jealous and angry about what God had done. More than anything, the creation of mankind. So Satan deceived these humans into consumption of a forbidden fruit, saying, "Surely, you will not die." The effect? Knowledge of good and evil. You see, God was searching for them, but they hid because they were afraid of their nakedness. As a result, they were banned from the garden, and Satan was cursed beyond all cattle and wild animals. But one word that resounds forever in every corner of the universe, one word that represents total access to the kingdom of heaven. And that word was Jesus, the Messiah, the one who offers us saving grace, who is mighty to save. I want to take you on a journey this morning. I want you to imagine reclining in a room with Jesus and his disciples. You finished a meal together, and earlier that evening, Jesus washed your feet and the feet of all the disciples. Your mind continues to process the unusual events when suddenly Jesus stands, looks in your direction, and says, "Will you follow me?" You stand, you follow, silently wondering, what's going on? It's dark and cold outside, and you're very, very tired. But how can you refuse Jesus' request? He has chosen you, performed miracles, he's taught you truth, and he has given you a sense of purpose to your life. But even more, Jesus has loved you with an everlasting, nothing can ever separate you kind of love. Jesus has given you a sense of value and meaning that can never be taken away because it's based on who you are and not what you do. So as tired and as worn out as you feel, you walk into the night with Jesus. As you carry on, Jesus turns to you and says, "I want you to be with me as I pray. You sense he doesn't want to be alone tonight. It's different than any other because on several other occasions, he's gone off by himself to pray. But tonight, he's asking you to accompany him, to be there with him. It's kind of an honor with this special request. So you continue walking in silence, no one else around. It's so quiet that you hear the sound of your footsteps in the leaves and Jesus' deep sighs. He appears troubled, anxious, even worried. You've never seen him like this before. When you reach an olive orchard at the foot of a hill, Jesus stops and says to you, "Sit here and pray for me while I go over there and do the same." Jesus wants you to pray for him. You take a seat. You lean against a tree. The ground is cold, your body aching, and you're so tired. By this point, your eyelids are weighing down upon you as you fight to stay awake and pray for Jesus. As Jesus walks a small distance from you, it seems the weight of the world is pressing more and more upon him. He walks so slowly. His shoulders are hunched, and suddenly he hits the ground. You can hear his anguished sighs and his voice as he begins to pray. He sounds so troubled, almost desperate. You hear him as he pleads with God, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." You realize he's calling upon his Father for help. It sounds as though he's trying to remove himself from something about to happen. You don't know what's about to take place, but you know it must be terrible because Jesus is now sweating drops of blood. This is so unlike him. You've never heard him say anything like this. But you know that he's always received whatever he's requested. So you're convinced he'll be freed from this struggle. But then you hear Jesus conclude his prayer. "Yet, not as I will, but as you will."
Refuse the cup the Father has given me. Thank you. Am I leading a rebellion? That you have come from me with clubs and swords? Every day you could find me teaching in the temple, but you never came for me there. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns.
Peter and Judas, this is a defining moment. Judas has become what he never thought he would. He is a betrayer. Peter is about to do what he never imagined he could. This is a moment they will both look back on and say, if only I would have done things differently. From here, Judas will go back to the Pharisees and he will try and undo what he cannot believe he has done. And Peter, well, he will follow Jesus into the city, but he will follow from a distance, afraid that someone might recognize him.
What are you doing?
Our business with you is finished. You are not welcome here any longer.
I've seen you.
No, I don't think so.
Stop! You stand back! You never said you would hurt him.
It is none of your concern.
You were with Jesus.
I've never met the man.
I still have the money. Take back your coins. I am not responsible for this.
It's a bit late for that now.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, I know you. He's a friend of Jesus.
No, I'm not. I don't know the man.
You don't understand. He is innocent.
What do we care? That is your problem.
Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?
Wait! Where are you taking him? He's innocent! Betrayed, innocent man.
May God curse me if I'm lying. I don't know the man! What have I done?
Both Peter and Judas have made the biggest mistake of their lives. They'd give anything to go back and undo it. But of course they can't, and neither can we. So where do we go from here? How can our lives ever change? We're told the difference between remorse and repentance is that remorse leads us to turn inward, to ourselves, in an attempt to make up for the mistake, much like Judas. While repentance turns to Jesus for mercy and forgiveness. This morning, church, I ask you, where do we go when we fail, when we fall short? Do we attempt to fix it ourselves? Or do we turn to Jesus for forgiveness? Maybe this morning you have regrets affecting your spirit. You're feeling really bad about something. Maybe it's something to do with a friend or a spouse, or something with your kids, or having to do with money or work. Maybe there's a decision that you've made that you now regret. Today can be the beginning of a new start in life, a time to repent and receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 5 through 9 tells us that the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What we gather from this scripture is that we are to worry about nothing and pray about everything. Whatsoever things represents all within one heart, its pleasures, its pains. These verses encourage us to tell him our troubles that he may comfort them, our joys that he may sober them, the longings of our heart that he may purify them, the wounds in our lives that he may heal them. Whatsoever things could never be totally exhausted in the daily lives we live. Reports tell us we generate 60,000 thoughts a day. That boils down to one thought every 1.44 seconds. What are you thinking? Whatever you're thinking, that thought may be true or false, noble or debased, just or unjust, pure or impure, lovable or spiteful, gracious or offensive, excellent or cheap, admirable or shameful. And since every thought is held captive throughout the body, they shape our souls in ways we can only begin to imagine. That is why the scripture says that whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovable, gracious, excellent, and admirable are what we should be thinking about. I want you to consider driving along the highway at speeds exceeding 55 miles per hour. And every 1.44 seconds, your windshield gets sprayed with oil. Now you tell me, how do we possibly see the road? How can we ever see what's actually going on in front of us? And this is what happens when we begin filling our thinking with anything other than what God intended. Consider how the media portrays violence and sex in such a way that the average child sees 2 murders and 30 other acts of violence on television. Not to mention what the internet feeds us with, or the $16 billion gaming industry. We've come to learn that those ages 6 to 20, 41% have game systems, 60% have computers, and 99% have television in their home. That was in 2001. The bottom line is what we put into our minds is what we are going to get out. So during this season of Lent, during this time of self-examination, ask yourself seriously what you've been putting into your minds. What has been holding you back from living a life together as the body of Christ, passionately pursuing and demonstrating his transforming life? This morning, we'd like to offer you a time to reflect, to open your hearts, to open your minds and receive the gift of love, of forgiveness, of mercy and grace that God, our Father, has to offer. It says in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." As the praise team comes forward and leads us in songs of praise and adoration, we invite you to any corners represented by a pastor this morning to share in the blessings of a Heavenly Father, to share in the love and the forgiveness, the grace and the mercy that He has to offer this morning, to be healed of physical and emotional wounds, to be released of regrets, to be set free once and for all. He is the great physician. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you that you meet us here in this place, that we are able to come as we are, broken people, and receive forgiveness, receive healing. And Father, we just pray during these next several moments as we reflect on our lives, that we would be able to indeed turn towards our minds and our hearts and what has been affecting us. Lord, maybe some of us here this morning are physically ill. Lord, I pray that they would find the courage to be anointed. Lord, maybe some of us here are experiencing emotional wounds from our past or a present situation. Lord, I pray they too would receive the blessing of our Heavenly Father. Lord, remind us of how great you are, how awesome your love is this morning. And we pour out this love to one another. But most of all, Lord, we love you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.